Welcome to the Biz Dad Podcast, where we dive into the melding of fathership and entrepreneurship with your host, the original Biz Dad himself, Adam Labar. Adam is a Christian, a former Air Force officer, a dad to three amazing kids, a coach, a real estate investor, and a business owner. On this podcast, he'll explore the unique journeys of amazing dads who are striving for greatness in both business and family. So, whether you're a dad who is an aspiring entrepreneur, a seasoned business owner, or simply a man striving to be a better dad, get ready as the Biz Dad brings you conversations to inspire, challenge, and equip you to be a better dad and entrepreneur. And now, here's Adam.
What do you like about your dad?
I like that he's kind and organized, and he always knows what to say.
He trained me.
What have I taught you?
Baseball, all the other sports, like workout stuff, emotional stuff.
He's nice, he's kind, and he surprises you with fun things a lot.
Okay, what does your dad do for work?
He teaches EOS.
What does it mean when I teach him EOS? What does that mean for them?
It means that you teach them how to make their business grow or get better.
What do I do for work?
EOS implementer.
What does that mean?
Entrepreneurial operating system.
Good job. What do I do for people, though?
You help them in their business.
Yeah. He does EOS and he's great at it.
And what does doing EOS mean?
It means teaching people and helping people make their business better.
Good.
What do you wish he would do more of? Say yes to stupid things.
All three of you said something like that.
No, I didn't.
What's
switch with me?
What's a stupid thing that you wish I would say yes to?
Like sleeping for his last night, or a yes day, or like to walk to get ice cream.
Now we do that.
Yeah, like just like random things.
What is something you wish your dad would do more of?
Play switch with me, or play on devices with me.
At home? That an answer?
What's that?
At home?
Yeah. Be at home more?
Yeah.
How much more?
A lot more.
Anything else?
I don't know. You asked me the question, not answer.
Anything else that you want me to do more of?
Maybe say yes to acting TV and green stuff.
I am excited to chat with Harvey Juergen today. I was going to tell you how many kids and everything he's got, but I'm going to let him introduce himself here in a second. But I'm really thrilled to talk to him. Even before this call started, he even mentioned some vulnerable information that I'm looking forward to kind of digging into, because I'm positive, myself included, there are a lot of us that feel this way. So I'm looking forward to chatting with Harvey and digging a little bit deeper. But if you can, please, Ari, introduce yourself, tell us about your family, and then tell us about your business.
Yep, Harvey Juergen. Live in Columbus, Ohio, from Akron, Ohio. I'm 39, knocking on the door of 40. I'll turn 40 this year. I've been married to my wife, Amy, 15 years. I'll be 16 this year. College sweethearts. And three kids, Brinley, Harvey, and Clara, girl, boy, girl, 13, 10, and 9. And my business, I am an full-time EOS implementer right now. If you don't know what EOS is, I essentially help people get more from their business, get what they want from their business so that they can lead better lives. That's what I do day in and day out.
Awesome. I will gladly dig into that a little bit too, because if you look right there, I've got a little EOS binder
sitting right there.
So
nice.
I do enjoy EOS. We started implementing last year in our business, the beginning of 23, and it was a transformational year. And I really look forward to this year being a massively expansive year because of that. So,
yeah.
All right. So let's dig in a little bit to like your background, who you are, what it was like growing up. Tell me about your dad, and then maybe even your dad's dad, if you know much history on that.
Yeah. So I'm the oldest of four total boys. So I have three younger brothers. And my dad was, I say quintessential, but the older I get, the more I realize that my dad was pretty exceptional. And by that, I mean, he just seemed to be everywhere all the time. He worked a full-time job. He was very, very involved in his church, our church. Shooting baskets or playing catch in the cul-de-sac and somehow making it to every sporting event that we ever had, all four of us, and most of the time helping coach. I don't know how he did it, but he did it, and it was very rarely any sort of complaint or insight into the way he felt about it. He just seemed to do it pretty easily, and I'm sure it was not easy. There's no way it could have been easy, because I know what parenthood is like right now, and and there's no way it was easy. So he's an awesome dad. I wish I would have told him that more when I was a kid, but you just don't know what you don't know until you're older and you have some perspective. So in fact, just today, I wrote a thank you note to him and my mom, just thanking them for the upbringing and the childhood that I had, because I had safety, I had stability, we were middle class, but we had everything we needed. And that's so rare. I feel like when I hear people's stories about the way that mm-hmm. they were brought up. And so to saying thank you for that, I think, you know, how can you ever really, really thank or repay your parents? Probably just with the way that you live your life. But speaking of that being a rare situation, both of my parents came from broken homes. So my dad, he, at the age of 9, his dad left him and his family. He eventually circled back around and got more involved. And, you know, I would say I had a decent relationship with my grandpa, and my dad had a better relationship at the end, or back half of my grandpa's life. But, you know, my dad just told me a story just maybe a couple years ago. We were actually on a road trip from the Baseball Hall of Fame to Fenway to see a game, and he was describing what that the scene and what it felt like, him as a 9-year-old watching his dad very coldly just pack up his stuff, load his truck up, and take off without even saying goodbye. He didn't gather my dad's sisters and him and sit him on his knee and tell him what was going on and why he was doing it. He just split. And then shortly thereafter came back, got back with my grandma, moved back in. They were in contract to buy a house. My dad was kind of raised in a bad part of Akron, Ohio. They were going to get out of this neighborhood. They were moving to this better neighborhood and this bigger house. And while they're in contract, my grandpa decided he didn't want to do that anymore and canceled the contract and left again. And then that was, I think he was pretty much gone forever then. So, I mean, you know, just that's hard stuff. And it's not lost on me that my dad has carried that with him for his entire life, and certainly affected the way that he parented us. And the way that it affected the way he parented us is he was overly present. He just was there. That was his way of reversing mm-hmm. the trend, was to be there, to be at dinner, to be there in the morning, to tuck us in at night, say prayers with us, to give us lunch money, to go to every sporting event. He did awesome.
That's amazing. That, you know, I often talk to people about, like, it seems like you either follow the same exact trajectory that your parents laid for you, or you run so far away from it to get away from what you experienced, right?
Right.
And it seems your dad very much went to that other side and, like, making sure that he was present and making sure he was there. And I'm wondering, you know, to bring up what you talked about beforehand, if that is part of the reason. So obviously before we started recording, so nobody else heard this, is you said that you were insecure about your fatherhood, and like you did, like there was a it's an ambiguous definition of what fatherhood is, and you know, what does that actually mean, what does like true good fatherhood look like. And then you proceeded to talk about how your dad was at every single event. He seemed to be doing everything all at once, all over the place. So I'm wondering if like the image that you have of your dad, is that what you picture as that image of what fatherhood looks like? Or are you like, what sort of image are you trying to chase? Obviously, you said it's ambiguous, but what sort of image are you trying to chase?
Yeah, I feel that I've continued in the tradition of being present and involved and prioritizing time with my family and prioritizing not missing even the smallest events, going to practice. I'm going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've done a really good, I am doing a good job at that. I'm modeling what my dad modeled. Mm-hmm. I still feel like there's something missing. I feel like there is another level there of connection, or again, ambiguous. I can sense it. I can feel it. But in the same way that my dad modeled what I just described, what we never really had was an emotional connection, any sort of, connection where if I was dealing with a real meaty problem as a teenager with sex or drugs or something that I thought was an uncomfortable topic, me and my dad's relationship was not where I could go to him and confide in him and bring this up and really connect on a really deep level.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the great things that he was and did, and that's not to be understated, but there's this deeper connection and relationship that I wasn't modeled from my father, and so I feel a little bit inept to attain that now, if it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does make sense. And that's one thing that I've talked about on the podcast is my dad had a horrendous upbringing. And I always thought I was missing things from my dad, and come to find out, he didn't have the ability to give them. So like your dad, it seems, probably didn't have the ability to give you that emotional connection. He never received that. He didn't know how to model that for you. He just knew, I'm going to be there because I had a dad that wasn't. Yep. Right. Yep. So, you know, when I looked at my dad, and it wasn't until I was much older, like I was in my probably early to mid 30s before I realized, holy crap, like your dad went through a lot of crap. Like his dad died when he was 2, and his stepdad was abusive, and lots of problems going on there. And no wonder my dad didn't have that emotional connection with me. That's right. He didn't know what an emotional connection was like that. Yeah. Like what, like it was completely absent in him. So there wasn't that piece to give. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it seems like that just in your reaction to that, that seems to kind of hit home. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, totally. And this is something like you, I just started to realize and think about and operate from recently. And it was with my mom. I've been mad at my mom for a long time, and it's who knows why. I mean, part of it is just because you're a dumb 18-year-old kid, and then you grow up, and then, you know, you're just carrying resentment. I think my resentment towards my mom was that she just didn't connect with us. She wasn't as involved, you know, all the stuff, the stories you come up with. Mm-hmm. In reality, fantastic mom, all the things that I said before. But once you learn the story of where she came from, what her upbringing was like, and you realize that the things that you're expecting of her, she didn't actually have the capacity for because she didn't learn it. She wasn't given it. She didn't have an example of that in her life. I read a book called It Didn't Start With You. The whole thing is about this exact topic. And I'm not kidding you. When I finished that book, or sometimes in the middle of it, I was overwhelmed with forgiveness. All that anger and resentment I had been carrying just melted away just through that realization, the exact realization that you're talking about.
Tell me more about the It Didn't Start With You. What would you catch from that as you were going through there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you froze up. Okay. Tell me about more about what? Sorry.
The book It Didn't Start With You. Tell me like what, as you were reading it, kind of what were the points that stuck out to you?
There's a lot in there, and what sticks out right now is just the mindset shift of considering the upbringing that your parents had and what they were equipped to give you when they had the opportunity to give it to you. And it's very likely that the things that you wish they would have given you, they didn't have the capacity for it. And if you trace it back to the way they were raised, you can see why they didn't have the capacity for it. I think there's a lot in that book too about the way that trauma passes down through generations, like even before you're born, like I don't know, there's like science and stuff in that, but like that sort of stuff just passes on. And then it makes it where you start to view your parents as entire people instead of just the parent who did this or didn't do that. Uh-huh. Like, oh yeah, they had parents, they had an upbringing, you know, they've gone through this life too. And it likely definitely affected the way they parented and are parenting now. And get off your freaking high horse, dude. Just, you know, they didn't have the capacity for it because of the way they were raised, and it's okay. It's okay. They did the best that they could, and it was pretty damn good.
What would you say are the top two or three things that you took from your watching your dad that you are now very sure to implement as a dad?
Definitely being present, being there, not missing things. There is an element of family first. My dad was always clearly prioritizing us and my mom over work or anything else. And that's the big stuff.
I had a freeze on this side too. I heard family first. What was did you mention a third thing?
No.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with my internet today, but hopefully that doesn't show up on our recording. But it is what it is. What are we going to do? Yeah. So when you mentioned family first, tell me what that means to you as you're, you know, showing up for your kids. I know you already mentioned that you're always going to be there. You're always going to be at the games and you're always going to be at the practices and all that. But you also mentioned that you feel like there's another way to be able to go deeper. So what does family first mean to you, and how do you feel like you could be going deeper that you're not?
Family first means to me that, first of all, I have a defined set of values or criteria, the list of things that I said are most important to me in order from 1 to 5 now. And if I say that these are the most important things, then my bank account and my calendar should reflect that exact thing. So if they don't, then I got a problem. And there's probably symptoms of that problem and running tentacles in a lot of different places. So family first to me means that at the top of my list, it says meaningful connections. But to me, that means connections with people like you. It also means prioritizing my relationship with my wife. It means prioritizing my time and relationships with my kids and my extended family, my parents, etc. And when it comes down to choosing, am I going to go on this trip to implement EOS and miss 3 days, or see my son's baseball game, and I'm figuring out what to do about the other thing. To me, that's what family first means. And it's action. It's showing up. It's actually being there. The going deeper, to me, it feels like there is a level of connection available between me and my kids that I haven't tapped into yet. And it could be because they're young, younger, 13, 10, and 9. But I guess my ultimate goal is I want there to be something different than what me and my dad had, and maybe even have. I want it to be where when they're dealing with the meatiest, biggest, most awkward problems in their lives, that they feel not just comfortable coming to me, but that they immediately think, I need to go talk to my dad about this. And so that, in part, that is a connection that I make with them, sure, but it's also the way I show up. I have to show up in a way that creates that space and safety for them time and time again. Mm-hmm. And that requires me to remove my ego from a lot of these conversations, which is very difficult, as you might know.
Yes.
Because it's when somebody, even my wife, when they bring you a problem and you're that connected to somebody, at least for me, my initial reaction is to look at that problem, the situation, through my own preferences, my own beliefs, my own thoughts about how things should be. That's useless. You know, there might be a time for that down the road in the conversation, in that situation, when and if advice is necessary. But initially, working to get to a point where when those things are brought to me, that it is, they're not met with ego, they're met with openness and space so that they can express themselves and feel safe. And I think that's how trust is formed between me and them. And it only is formed and maintained over time and repetition. So that has been work and a journey for me. But yeah, I just think there is that is my goal. So in the terms of fatherhood success to me, if in 20 years, my relationship with my three kids is like that, we're talking regularly, and they're bringing me their biggest media issues, and they feel safe to do so. I'll feel like I was successful.
So, and I don't know how I want to ask this question. When you're doing your EOS implementation and you're talking to an integrator, do you tell your integrator to fix all the problems for everybody?
No, of course not.
Okay, yes. So, and in your family, if you're the one doing all of that and you're like just like attacking the problem all the time, does that open up the ability for your family to, like your kids, to be able to feel comfortable in doing that? Right?
No.
And I don't, I'm not trying to be condescending or anything. I'm trying to ask a question in definitely a language that you understand.
Yeah.
As a integrator in my company, like I know that I really struggle with that. And as a father, you know, I told you before the recording. So I was having a conversation with a really good buddy of mine. We've been trying to look at buying a business together or buying some real estate together, and it just hasn't quite happened yet. But we're restarting our weekly calls again to kind of get something fired up. And he was like, "Well, how are things going?" And I started homeschooling this year, and I told him, I said, "Wow, do I need to work on my patience during homeschool? Like, I just don't, like, I feel so inadequate to, because I just, you know," and one of the hardest parts is math, because my son really wants to love math because he knows that I'm really good at it and I like it. So he really wants to do that for me, but he thinks that if he doesn't know math like I know math, that he's stupid.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult for me because, and then like I'm trying to teach the math and it's so, I mean, he's in fourth grade, so it's pretty simple math. So I'm trying to explain it in a way that I think is coming out. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding. Like, you're not even paying any attention. Like, what is going on? You know, like, this is what I'm telling you to do, you know? And I'm like, what are you doing, Adam? Like, what is wrong with you? You know? And Adam, meet Adam, my son's name is Adam as well. But like, I have to yell at myself. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're talking to a 9-year-old about math and you're trying to help build this kid up to be a strong. And one of the things I always tell them is my goal is to make you better men than me. Because I've got two older boys. I've got a 9-month-old girl. Despite what 2024 tells us, she will not be a better man than me because she can only be a woman. That's all that she can be as she grows up. But I want her to find a better man than me. So if I could teach her to find a better man than me, then I'm doing well. So, you know, it's I'm not showing up in a way in those moments that are teaching my boys to be better men than me. So the only thing I can do after that is do a very large, as we said when we lived in Japan, gomenasai, a big I'm sorry, and say, look, dude, I am not showing up right for you. And 9 times out of 10, my son will look at me, daddy, it's not you. I said, no, it is. There's nothing in this life that you are doing that you did not either see from me, see from your mom, or see from somebody else.
Yeah.
That's just like you're learning from your environment. And I needed that reminder this morning very badly. And, you know, having that conversation with my buddy John was great for me to just kind of have that slap in the face. And part of me hopes that my son heard me talking about that. So that, cause like, he's incredibly smart and incredibly capable. Like, if I put him on a clock, I'm like, dude, you've got less than 1 minute to do this math problem. He'll crush it because he gets out of his head and he's like, okay, there it is. And he gets it right. But if you give him time to think about it, he's like, oh, I don't know this part and I don't know this. And I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? But, and I don't know quite how to deal with that. So I'm saying all that to say, I think we all struggle with how we show up for our kids and how we keep that door open. And one of the things that I'm trying to do is at least make sure that they know that when I screw up, they know I've screwed up.
Yeah,
like I let them know, like I get down on, I get down to their level, look at them in the eye and say, daddy screwed this up. And by them seeing that vulnerability that I'm willing to do that, then when they screw up, they're more likely to come and tell me. You know, especially if when they come and tell me that they screwed up, I don't go, what the heck is wrong with
that?
Because like when I was, my dad always, I'm the same way with you and your dad as me and my dad. I did not have that emotional connection. It wasn't there. They always had what seemed to me to be lip service of, hey, if you ever want to drink, let me know. Let it be with me. We can, like, if you're getting into trouble, let me know. Yeah, right, Dad. You know, is really what was going on up here, right? Like, not happening. And it was solidified one time when I was speeding in the car. I was 16 years old. I got a ticket for 56 and a 30. So I'm on my way to pick up my buddy to go mountain biking. And I was like, I'm totally screwed. My dad's going to kill me. And then we get home. My dad's like, dude, what happened? It's really not that bad. And I'm already freaking out because I know that's going to be ugly. And then he's like, how fast are you going? It can't be that bad. I was like, 56, 56 and a 30. And he goes nuts. And I was like, well, there goes that, you know, like, so that just slammed it in my brain. Like, I'm not saying nothing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But, yeah. That's that. So, that's, I get it.
How do you work with your kids when you've screwed up or when you see where there's an improvement that you can make to show them like that, to be that example? What does that look like in your life right now?
Yeah, very similar to what you're talking about. Just apologizing and being specific about what I'm apologizing for. And that's new for me for sure. Maybe the last year or two. But, you know, it's usually for the same stuff too. It's usually like I overreacted. I raised my voice when I didn't need to. I said some things that may have been hurtful. Usually around this same sort of thing, like just a reaction to something. So that's how I handle it. I just keep saying sorry. Yeah.
How are you and your wife on communication with when it, like, what sort of feelings does she have on what you're saying with that deeper connection? Do you guys have conversations about that and how to build that?
Yeah, we certainly do talk about that quite a bit. And she says a lot of the same stuff that we're saying and that we know to be true. And she's more gifted in that arena. She's obviously has stronger feminine energy, especially when stress is high, and I have much stronger masculine energy, especially when stress is high. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to coach me on saying sorry was a big step, but then also when I feel the want to react, to just pause and hold and create a little bit of space, at least just timing space between when something happens or is happening and when I decide to engage or react. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a lot better, but she's a big reason why.
You know, the number one relationship you can make in your life is who you marry. Like, that is like massive. So if she's giving you that support and helping you get to those points, that's phenomenal, right? Because I my wife's the same way. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't even be on this podcast, right? I mean, not only because I want to be a dad if it wasn't for her, but because like, just my life would be so much different if it wasn't for my wife. So
same.
I am positive we'll come back to there, but I want to go into the your business side of the house a little bit. So it says on your sheet that you started doing this entrepreneurs type of stuff in 2016. Tell me about like growing up and how you got to through high school, if you went to college or whatnot, and then eventually becoming an entrepreneur, what that looked like.
How did I get through high school?
That's not exactly what I'm saying, but if that's how you want to take it, that tells me a lot just in that response.
I was an athlete. I played pretty high level baseball through high school, and I went to go play in college. So I played D1 baseball at Valpo. And I studied criminology and Spanish. I thought I wanted to be a, you know, FBI agent or something like that. I tried to be, did a couple internships, and then decided that is not the life for me. Thank God. And then out of college, I took a job with the Department of the Army and had an internship with them. It was paid. It was sweet. I got to do all this tactical army training with soldiers and load ships and planes and send people into theater. And then I went and worked for the Corps of Engineers. I was a chief of logistics for the Portland District, Portland, Oregon, for about 4 years. And then we had two kids while we were out there. All of our family was back east, and we were like doing birthday parties and Christmases over Zoom. And we're just like, this is not, I can't do this. So we loved our life there, but we had to go. We had to move back. So we went to Michigan for about 9 months. In Michigan, I was still working for the government. This is where I decided this is not, I'm not spending the rest of my life working for the federal government. So without a plan, we had a little bit of a plan, but without a plan of what I was going to do next, I just quit. And I had been going to Bigger Pockets University and whatnot, and knew I wanted to go the real estate track. And then you know, by 2016, we started buying property, and by 2018, I was flipping property and flipping to hold, and then bought a Homebusters franchise, which is the We Buy Ugly Houses people, and took a partner and built a team, and did that at pretty, I mean, kind of high volume for 3 years or so. And then, you know, more or less outgrew that. And then actually went to be an integrator for another GoBundance guy here in Columbus who had a commercial real estate development company. Did that for about 9 months. And then just, I was trying a bunch of stuff, which I think is good because as we're finding our footing in life and trying to figure out, you know, where we're called to be and what we enjoy and what was most useful to the world. I don't know how you discover that without pushing on some doors and discovering what works and what doesn't. So that's what I was doing. And then at the end of 2022, beginning of 2023, I just hit the pause button and I said, I'm going to take no less than 4 weeks and do nothing and just find some peace and space and let things come to me. And it just became clear, luckily, and I'm very grateful to be surrounded by people who gave me feedback and showed me breadcrumbs back to what I'm good at and maybe what I was being called to do. And it became clear that I was a teacher and a coach, and I already knew EOS because I've been using it in my business and in another guy's business. And we mentioned Luke Henry before, but he just sent me this, he was part of this journey. He just sent me this link to how to become an EOS implementer, no context or anything. And so I looked into that, seemed appealing, and signed up, went to boot camp, rest is history. And so now I'm a full-time EOS implementer, and man, freaking, this is awesome. This is like where I'm supposed to be, and I love it.
Awesome. What does a day-to-day life look like for you as an implementer?
Yeah, so I'm at the beginning stages of building my practice, because I've only been certified by EOS since last August or so. So I'm building up a client base. So a lot of my day in and day out now is just having conversations with people, trying to put value out, help people, talk to people with businesses. And I like that anyway. And if it turns into somebody who's interested in my services, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I just like making connections and helping people. So there's a big portion of that that's happening right now. And then if I'm not doing that, I'm in session. And in session means, you know, you've done EOS, but you know, 6, 7, 8 hours in a room together with a leadership team, and we're getting into it. We're really getting into it, fundamentally changing the way they do business, all in the name of helping them run a better business so they can lead a better life. And it's awesome. And all of my clients are across the country, so there's a good bit of travel in there, more travel than I've ever done in my entire life. So every session is usually a travel day on the front end and a travel day on the back end. So that's really the gist of it.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, we've done all of ours. So all the leadership, we're in, everybody's in a different state other than two of us. We're both in Florida. Okay. So we've been doing Zoom for those, and it's dreadful. I would much rather be in person, you know, like just that ability to communicate in person is so much better.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, I won't do it virtually. I have one client that I'm doing it virtually, but I won't, otherwise I won't do it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, our implementer is kind of the same way. He's like, I don't like doing them virtually, but I will if I have to. And a team like ours, like there's no way to, like every quarter, have everybody fly into one place and try to get it all. And it's like, well, where do we fly into and how do we set it up? And there's no office, and there's
sure.
What should a business be looking for? Like, let's say somebody wants to reach out to you and kind of say, hey, what can Harvey do for me and my business? What kind of business should be looking at EOS, and what kind of businesses specifically do you like to work with?
Well, the EOS target market is defined by companies that have between 10 and 250 employees and have between 2 and 50 million in revenue. It's at least 2 million in revenue. Privately held. So it's, EOS is tough in huge corporations that are publicly traded for reasons that I'm sure you can understand. And then, so that's demographic, psychographically, entrepreneurial in nature, which means that they are open and honest, they're growth oriented and growth minded, they're more afraid of the status quo than they are of change. So they're looking to change, they're looking to grow, they're not afraid of shaking things up for the sake of where they want to go long term. So target market wise, that's where we shoot for. Now, most of the businesses I work with, they don't even, they're smaller than that, and it works. I run EOS in my business and I'm one person. The tools, they just work, but that is the target market. Who do I like working with? Man, I really like working with GoBundance dudes. And one of the reasons, as I'm sure you can identify with, there just seems to be an automatic base level value share in the way that we approach life and the way that we approach team and the way that we think about our priorities and our families. So that's really nice. And plus we already have a shared camaraderie when we go into it. But you don't have to be in GoBundance. Just, I prefer to work with people who kind of have that GoBundance mindset.
Yeah. Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. That's, and I think that helps you with that. I mean, GoBundance guys, most of them are entrepreneurs to begin with, right? So that thought process is already there. That mindset's already there to grow and build.
Yeah.
So when you were doing the real, do you still do real estate as well as, being an implementer?
As passively as I can.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Yeah. In fact, we were just talking about going to the GoBundance event in Vermont, and one of the ahas I took away from that was I'm not good at putting together real estate deals and I'm not good at operating them. And it just stresses me out and it's a distraction from what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. And so it took me a while to just say it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I understand I want real estate, but I want it as passively as I possibly can to avoid all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. Especially when you look at how EOS works and the things that, like, what's your core focus? And right. If you can apply that in your personal life on what is my core focus and what I'm doing, like,
yes.
And stop chasing all the, you know, yellow butterflies that come around because man, oh man, it gets real difficult. You know, like last year we did a ton of work on the core focus. We shut down like three extra superfluous companies that we shouldn't have been trying to operate. Awesome. We really just narrowed down on exactly what we're supposed to be doing in the company. It made a massively huge difference in just our ability to focus, our ability to narrow in what we need to do, have the right people in the right seats. Because when you have one person in four different seats, because there's four different companies that you're running.
Yes.
That's nearly impossible to get the actual functionality out of that. And it was just exhausting.
Well, good for you. And your implementer sounds good too. Because that's hard. Coming up with the core focus by itself, writing the words down, maybe isn't the most difficult thing. But the whole point of the core focus is to filter every single decision that you make in the business through it. And a lot of those decisions can be difficult. So congratulations for filtering through your core focus and making those tough decisions, because not everybody gets to that point.
Yeah, it was not easy for sure. I mean, there was one company we spent over $100,000 trying to build it and it was basically started and we were like, it's time for it to go. And it was what a kick in the shin, right? That really sucked. But, you know, what have you seen, both in your implementer standing and since you've been an implementer, in like some of the biggest changes and the biggest ahas that people running companies have?
I mean, it's all like one big aha. You know, a big aha normally is just that light bulb moment. I had one recently where like literally the guy's eyes got big and said, I'm the problem, aren't I? Yep. You are the problem. That's okay. That's a good place to be to realize that you are the problem. Now what are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. So that's a big one. And most of the time it's an owner who's sitting in the integrator seat and they just suck at it. There's conversations they're avoiding. There's people's feelings that they can sense but they don't really want to touch it. And they're just throwing people where it makes sense for the day and it's a mess and they can't figure out why nothing's happening, why we're not moving forward, why no one's hitting their goals, why no one seems to be caring as much as I do. Well, dude, because you're not the person for the seat. So that's a big one. I think it is just the biggest ahas come from a level of clarity and a lot of ahas come from doing the accountability chart exercise where you start, it's mm-hmm. really where you start to put things in their place and you start to see, you know, before an accountability chart, the body of work just looks like a rubber band ball, right? There's no real definition of who owns what or what communication lines go where, but it feels heavy and it feels huge and it feels unravelable. No, wait, you can't unravel it. Yeah, like it's impossible to unravel. Yeah. But then you go through this exercise and you have them zoom out and you do structure first, people second. So instantly they're removing themselves, their egos, and the personnel that are involved in their business right now, which that's where the complexity comes from. You're thinking mm-hmm. about personalities and names and skill sets and feelings and emotions and other people's egos. And if you can get to a mindset where you're removing that and you're just thinking about structure, it tends to simplify that process. And then you start to see where work and communication is actually compartmentalized and flows. And you're like, whoa, I'm in four seats and Johnny's in six seats. Mm-hmm. No wonder it feels like this. That and there's many exercises in that process where you get that level of clarity as to almost a peek under the hood of your own business. And the accountability chart, that's one of the places during implementation where they get that level of clarity.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the spots we did for sure. Like we did it and I was like, okay, so I'm in three seats. We have seven rocks and I'm responsible for six of them.
Yeah.
I think we figured out part of the problem. I don't know. It was just like, what are we doing here? You know?
Yeah.
And it was a very good, refreshing slap in the face.
Yeah.
My integrator, Ben Kelly is his name, and he's looking at jumping into GoAbundance, and I've been trying for like the last year to get him into GoAbundance. So
yeah, good. I just talked to him the other day. Yeah, we're both working on him then.
Yes, very good. Good. I told him, I said, well, when you talk to the GoAbundance guys, you better give him my daggum name. I've been talking to you for a year about that. Like, but I like Ben a lot. He's been great to work with. So
yeah, good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad he deals with the ridiculousness that we have in our company. So you know, our personalities are. I mean, you got everybody. A bunch of military folks and military spouses that are running the company, and it's like, boy, good luck with that. You know?
Yeah, that's common. It's everybody.
He often asks why, like our last L10 that he sat in on, and he was like, none of you guys rated it a 10. I said, well, there was room for us to grow on these things. I said, like, there's no, and he's like, really? None of you guys can rate this a 10? I said, look, I don't know if you know military folks. Nothing is perfect. There's always something we can, like, there's no way that we could give ourselves 10s. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's been awesome to work with him. And I'd love to keep, I want to keep chatting about EOS because I think it's going to be super valuable for anybody who's listening that doesn't use EOS at the moment, because I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And B, I've got somebody who's a rather good expert on this, so I might as well ask a bunch of these questions, right?
Yeah.
So,
and I think there is a parallel between fatherhood or anything that you want to do in life and the EOS tools. The EOS tools, when you read Traction, it's all through the lens of these small entrepreneurial companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the deeper you get into this, and you're probably already noticing yourself, these tools just apply anywhere that you can apply them. So there's even a family version of a VTO. But if you use the VTO, for instance, and that's the Vision Traction Organizer, it's a two-page document where you spell out where you're going long-term and how you plan to get there. But if you can set goals, long-term vision, like on your three-year picture, you put something on there like, be a present dad or something like that. The process works like, and if you remember right, or if you remember back, at Focus Day, Ben probably said, be careful what you wish for, because in this process, you will get it. And it's true. If you put it on your three-year picture, the way the process works, it's going to happen. It may not be 3 years exactly. It may be 2 years mm-hmm. or 4 years, but it's going to happen. And it's because you put it on there. And then especially when you're working with an implementer, they force you to get it on your one-year plan, force you to get it in your rocks. And it just happens that way anyway. And then every quarter, you're focused on this thing that you said you wanted to do in 3 years. That's how things get done.
Yeah. What do you know?
Yeah.
and I think that business and fatherhood are super relatable to each other. And one of the things I since the beginning have been talking about is like our kids are like they're our own little businesses, right? We're the CEO of, you're the CEO of your three businesses. I'm the CEO of my three businesses. My goal is that by the time they're out of my house, I'm just on a board of advisors. I don't want to be the CEO anymore. I just want to graduate from that position. So I need to make sure the right systems are in place. I need to make sure the right processes are in place. I need to make sure they have the right people on their team. I'm going to be one of those people on the team. Mom's going to be another one of those people on the team. Their siblings may be some of the people on the team, but maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's some other mentor. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's whatever, but helping them find those right people in the right seats on their accountability chart so that when they get out and they're running their business by themselves and they're the CEO, it's running smoothly already, and I've handed over a good running business. I wish that I thought about that a little bit more sometimes as I'm going through it. You know, it's always a good reminder to have this conversation and remind myself that this is what I'm doing. So that way, when I do look at my kids, I'm like, okay, my job is just to continue putting the right people in the right seats, continue making the right goals, set the right rocks for them this quarter. You know, they don't need to know that it's a rock, but it's a rock for us to build towards this quarter, you know? And maybe I do need to make sure that they know it's a rock. So let me actually change that direction. What you said there was a family VTO. Is that something that you actually implement in your family, or have you started to look at how you can apply EOS in your personal family?
Certainly. I mean, when my personal VTO has both professional and personal goals on it. I just combine it all at once. My wife and I spend a lot of time talking about the future, planning the future, and we actually have a weekly L10 meeting with ourselves. I have brought up the idea of a family VTO multiple times, and I don't think I've approached it the right way. My kids are just not interested in it. And I think they just have sat down to too many impromptu, oh, dad wants to talk about goals conversations. And they're just, I could use help with that. I'm trying to find a good way to approach that and a good tactic for getting the whole family on board with visioning and goals.
Okay. So I will say one thing that's helped me is Fambundance. I don't know if you know much about the Fambundance side of the house, but we did a goal setting and family core values and everything this past when we were in Vermont. So we had the whole family there. We got to sit down. Like, they break the kids up by age group, so they'll have teenagers in one room and under teenagers in another room, and then the parents in another room, and everybody's kind of working on similar things, and you get together and apply them all together as a family. So that was a way for them to kind of get some fun and enjoyment and, you know, like, spend kid time and then come over and be like, oh, great. Now we like what you learned over there, we get to talk about here and do these things. And that was our, I think, third Fambundance event, third or fourth Fambundance event. And to me, I think that that's good because it exposes them to other kids. They get to see other families doing it. It's not just, oh, dad's sitting me down again. It's, oh, everybody does this. I didn't realize everybody, and obviously not everybody does this,
right?
But when you're in a room like that, everybody does, right?
Yes.
So getting them in that room where everybody else does it is, it's a great way, which is one of the reasons why we have GoBundance, right? Getting us in a room of a bunch of guys who do this, that makes all of us better. So we can do the same with our kids. And there was somebody, it was at a Fambundance event, I think in 2022, I think, we were in Montana, and they talked about, okay, well, have you ever gotten a coach? Like, Harvey, have you ever hired a coach to help you with something? And I'd venture to guess the answer to that is yes. Right. Yes. And then it's like, okay, so you're purposely putting somebody in your life to make you better, to strengthen you in one way, shape, or form. And you have mentors and all this stuff. When was the last time you deliberately put a coach or mentor in your kid's life? Like, it doesn't have to be, here, son, here's your mentor, right? But like, helping that, like, deliberately, but maybe it's a sports coach that just has that role model that you're looking for, that you vet, that you know that you want to be around. And deliberately putting those people in your kids' life to help kind of grow their ideas and thoughts, that it's not just coming from dad, it's coming from, oh, this guy that's not dad, so I'm definitely going to trust what they say more than what dad says, just because that's, you know, I believe you were a kid once, so you understand that feeling.
I do.
So.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't often think about that. I like that.
Yeah, I love the thought process of, who are you deliberately putting in your kid's life? Like, when you leave here, yeah. have an idea of who that's going to be.
Yeah.
And you know, like, especially if you're around other GoAbundance guys, that might be a good place to start of,
yeah,
like,
that's true.
You know, let's chat with each other and figure out, you know, what lines up and what doesn't. We're about to start doing, I just last week started asking folks, hey, I want to get the families together, have like our own little mini Fambundance in Tampa.
Oh, nice.
And get together with a bunch of other families that are, you know, because I want my kids to be around all those kids, especially now that I started homeschooling. It's like, I want them exposed to as much as I can possibly expose them to.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another thought process that I have going on, but
yeah, I like that. That makes sense. Yeah.
I like it. So you've got on here that, you know, what are your goals in regards to family? You wrote an overnight trip with each kid, and then like a baseball stadium trip, golf with your dad, overnight trip with your mom. So what does an overnight trip, and when do you want to accomplish that goal to start doing these overnight trips with each kiddo?
Yeah, so it's I've been doing those for the last several years.
So it's not a goal, it's just something you want to continue.
I mean, it's on my VTO to do this year. And so it's just by the end of the year. And we just started that conversation last night, actually, because I need to get it scheduled. I don't know what it'll look like. I kind of let them steer the ship on those.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also on my rocks list for this quarter to just get them scheduled, get them planned and scheduled so they're on the calendar and we can build around them.
Awesome. Yeah. You're like the, I don't know, fifth dad on here that has mentioned that. And I really want to do stuff like that with each of my kids and start doing that. The first guy that brought it to me was Frank Smallen. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's up in Maryland. He was on
here.
He's like the third or fourth podcast or something like that. But he talks about it on there, and he and I have chatted about it before. But I love the idea of like a kid led overnight trip somewhere, you know, a day or two, maybe three, just you tell me what we're doing. You know, he's gone, he's brought his kid to Pinehurst. His kid's like 9-10 years old, brought him to Pinehurst to go check it out. I'm like, man, I haven't even been to Pinehurst yet. Your 10-year-old has, right? But that's what he was interested in. That's what he wanted to do, you know?
Oh, that's good.
And I was like, that's phenomenal. I brought his daughter down from Maryland down here to Tampa to go to a Taylor Swift concert. So, so the next time you see him, ask him if you see him, like, oh, I heard you're a Swiftie, because he's totally down with the Taylor Swift, apparently.
Yeah. My daughter's a Swiftie. I'm a Swiftie.
There you go. You're stuck with it. Thankfully my daughter's 9 months old, so she's not anything ify yet.
I also think those are great opportunities great opportunities to make memories, but then also great opportunities to open up those one-on-one communication lines that just don't happen in the course of everyday life.
What kind of conversations do you have with your kids on what you do for work, and what do they think you do versus what do you actually do? Well, obviously we know what you actually do, but what do they think you do, and how much involvement do they get to have in what you do?
So it's funny, because you part of the prepping for this was to ask my kids that question. Uh-huh. And they all answered. They were like, you're an EOS implementer. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? And they're like, well, you help people with their businesses and do their business better. I was like, yeah, that's great. That's good. So they're tracking. And it's, you know, I made a deliberate effort because of GoBundance, something I learned in GoBundance a few years ago, back when I was running the real estate company. Just... It's funny because this is not the way that you're raised. Bring work home. And that meant that I was going to start just sharing the things that I was struggling with in my business to the dinner table. And just so that initially I did it so that they were exposed to it, and that the idea of entrepreneurship and the hardships and the rewards of it weren't foreign to them. So that if and when they decide to follow that path themselves, that they had a certain level of comfort with it. But really what it's turned into is that they're just more aware of and ingrained in my profession in a way where it's not separate from our life in the house as a family. When I very common, this is the way I was raised, work was work and home was home, and there was, you know, it would come up every once in a while, but it was very much separate. And that's truthfully, that's the way I led my life for the first at least 10 years or more of of you know, being married and having a family. But man, it made me proud to ask them what I did, and then to ask them really what that meant, and for them to understand what that means. And and it's, if I have a bad day, like yesterday, I had a day where, you know, just had some client issues, you know, changing appointments, pushing things around, just frustrating for a lot of different reasons. I'm going to carry that, and it's, I don't have to mask it. I don't have to take a deep breath before I go in the back door and suck it up and put on a smile. It's actually better if I tell my family and my kids, even if they're young, what's going on, what I'm struggling with, why I feel the way I do, what I plan to do about it. And then probably close the loop with them today or tomorrow and just say, hey, remember when I was dealing with that and I was super emotional and I feel better about it now. And, you know, here's the things I learned and whatever. But I think that that deliberate effort has, it's been therapeutic because I no longer have to just shove feelings down and shove all the things that are going on in my life. And then, you know, then I explode at some point. And then it also helps integrate my kids into my world, which is what I want. I want them to understand what's going on.
Yeah. And they catch it anyways. Like, whether there's no real hiding it, they're going to catch it.
No.
I used to be a dog handler many moons ago. And in training, they would always tell you, like, your emotions travel down leash. Like, the dog knows what you're feeling, right? So if you're anxious and stressed out, your dog is going to get anxious and stressed out. They know it. They can sense it. And not that I'm comparing my kids to my dog, but they can sense it. They feel it. They know what's going on, you know? And if you're open and honest about it, like, it's so much, like, you can, we could try to bottle it up all we want, but there's no hiding it when we come home from or in my case, I work from home. When I walk out of my office with a very stressed out emotion, like, they can tell, like, they just know.
Totally.
There have been a few times over the last probably 8 months where I've had to, hey guys, I'm really sorry, daddy can't, I can't sit in here right now. I'm gonna go in the garage and just work on the garage. Like, it's not your fault. I don't want you to be exposed to the anger that is built up inside of me right now. Like, that's because it's not your fault, and you don't need to feel the brunt of the fact that I had a rough day. So I'm gonna go into the garage, take a moment. You guys just get here and enjoy some time with mom. And that's what we've had to do sometimes, you know? And I love that you do something similar, and you're talking to your kids and like, hey, this is part of life, is sucky things happen. You know, what can you do?
Yeah, that's reality.
You know, how about, you know, how deliberate have you and your wife been on, like, hey, this is how we want to communicate with our kids. This is, you know, what we want to communicate versus what we don't want to communicate. What does that kind of look like between the two of you?
Started with a shared vivid vision.
No way. You used EOS stuff to figure this out? Oh, man. Shut the front door.
Wait. Vivid vision, which is a Cameron Harold before EOS. We started with that exercise. And we had a shared idea of what kind of relationship we wanted with our kids in a certain amount of time. And then, you know, luckily my wife is super smart and she can understand if we want that, then we got to start planting seeds now, because what we do now will affect that. And so it seems one-sided most of the time to me. I'm sure she would disagree, but it seems like she's approaching situations in the sort of way that fosters our vision, and is, if she's not the one engaging, she's coaching me on how to engage. But we talk about it often, and it hasn't always been pretty. This hasn't happened in a while, but we have a history of kids do something, I engage in the way that I'm just initially programmed to engage, which is high energy, problem solve, probably intense. Super intense, and maybe crossing a line in terms of just not matching energy with the real gravity of the situation. And then she corrects me in front of the kids, which I interpret as disrespect. And then I just go, I go from level 8 to level 15, and then it just turns into a whole thing. So we have worked on that a lot. In fact, we had a coach for a while for us in our relationship, and we talked about this a lot. But it was work on both sides, because it was both of our egos in that situation. Her ego was, no, the way I think this situation should be handled is the way it should be handled. And if you're not doing it that way, then you're wrong. And then my ego showed up because I interpret what she was telling me as disrespect, which it really wasn't. It was just her being concerned for the kids in the situation. So I was bringing my own ego to the situation. So I had to figure out a way to back that down. So I forget what your question was, but how often do we talk about the way we communicate with the kids? Frequently, very, very nice. Frequently. And man, I want to say that I'm still a work in progress, but as I sit here and think about this, I have come so far. I have really changed the way that I communicate with the kids, even in high stress situations. No, I'm not perfect, but it just has gotten a lot better. And imagine that if you put a level of intention around something and pay attention and start to pay attention to it, and then are also okay with, you have an open heart and an open feedback loop, and you treat your partner as a partner and not an adversary, and you mm-hmm. and you're helping each other and coaching each other, how you just kind of elevate together. I'm proud of that. Yeah, I'm really proud of that.
That's awesome. You very much sounded like you were in The Gain there and not The Gap. If you have read The Gap and The Gain, that is, especially when you started off the conversation thinking that, you know, when you're, man, I don't think that I'm, you know, I'm insecure about my fatherhood if I'm doing a good job. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm really proud of how far I've come. Yeah. Like, that's awesome. I mean, it's not easy to admit that you're doing better than you thought you were. You would think that that's easy to admit, but it really isn't, right? I mean, maybe it's just guys like us have a hard time admitting that, because I know I have a hard time admitting that, because I always know that I'm not the 100% that I want to be. So thus, how can I possibly compliment myself yet? Eventually I'll compliment myself, right? And and that's tough. But I really appreciated you saying that, because it reminded me that that's a good thing for us to do, is realize how far we've come and where we're going. But
yeah, I mean, geez, dude, you got a podcast on being a dad. I mean, you are likely doing a crap ton of really good stuff.
My goal is to steal as many good ideas from all of the good dads as I can, so that I can be a better dad. So, beautiful. You know, if I can be a better dad while being a better business operator, then I'm on the right track. So,
reach it.
When you mentioned having the vivid vision with your wife, when did that process start? When, like, did you already have kids when you started thinking about that, or was that before you had kids?
No, it was definitely after we had kids. I don't know. I want to say somewhere around 2020.
Okay.
There was a lot of things that kind of just happened in 2020 for us. Mm-hmm. Early 2020, maybe late 2020, is when I joined Emerge, which mm-hmm. is the, like, I almost said junior division, but it's not the junior, it's just like the precursor to the full-fledged GoBundance.
Yep.
And it's powerful, and it'll change the way that you think about yourself and about life and what you want to do and how you do it. And that was happening for me, and I didn't include her in that. Mm-hmm. I took it as, this is me work. These are things that I want to do, and I'm going off. I'm doing these things. I'm changing this, and I don't know why you would need to know about that.
Yeah. Well,
it turns out they do, and yes. they want to, and they want to be a part of the journey. And it's not, you can think that you're just making changes that affect you, but when you're married to someone and raising people, those changes ripple. So now I know that, but through the course of that initial Emerge journey for me, and then figuring out how to include my family in it, there was some heated conversations, but then we got through it, and then I eventually slowed down a little bit, and then she met me kind of where I was at a, you know, the place that I was, and then it just became like this. Okay, we're partners. She's in GoBundance now, if that's any indication.
Awesome.
And somewhere around that time, we said, I think it makes sense for us to talk about what the hell we want this life to look like in 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. Yeah, I did something very similar with without my wife. in just kind of creating what our future was going to be. And then I'll let her know what the future is when we get there. Like, are you doing? You know, it was such an interesting thought process because
we're idiots.
I'm building. Yeah. Well, you know, it's that's one way you could say it. Yeah, I guess.
You idiot.
And this year was the first year where we literally, the two of us, sat down and created what 2024 was going to look like. We've had conversations for a while. My wife, so I was prior military for a long time. My wife is still in. She's got a year and a half left before she gets to officially retire. And I cannot wait until that's over. But it was like, oh no, she's got her thing going on. I'll just keep leading the way I think we need to lead, and I'll keep doing the things that I think I need to do. And I like selfishly ran through this whole plan of what our future was going to be. And what a mistake that was, right? Yeah. Because like the input that she had, you know, there's one guy I was talking to on here. I wish I could remember his name right now, but he's part of this group called the Kinetic Man. And is another Air Force veteran like me, but he was like, look, I sat down and one of the things they have their people do is say, hey, like talk to your wife and say, what are the top 10 most important things to you? And just to understand, like nothing. Like you just tell me the top 10 most important things to you and you'll be amazed what you hear. And one of the things was his wife really enjoyed the time after the kids went to bed to be able to just sit on the couch and talk to her husband. And he was always using that time like, okay, the dishes are done. The kids are in bed. I feel good. I'm going to go knock out a few more things at work. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I had no idea that I was completely taking away one of the top 10 things for my wife by just going and getting work done, because I thought that that was what made sense in that time. Right. And, you know, and that was, I'd already come to my realization on like, well, you really should have included your wife in all of this. Right. Mm-hmm. But it was like an awesome reminder for me to just kind of say, hey, what is it that is important to my wife? What is it that she has going on that I'm not thinking about? And how can I make sure that it's implemented into our future? So, you know, that was to me super encouraging. And that was, I included that in our 2024 plan. What are the top 10 most important things for you this year? Where do you want to go? And what do you want to do? And, you know, she was even like, she was doing the same thing on her side. She was like, oh, well, if I make Colonel, then we could like, that gives us more security for this and I can do more of this. And like, and I was over there going, no, I don't want you to make another rank. That means we got to stay in longer. We're going to have to move again. And all that.
Right.
Like, boy, what happens when we talk? What do you know? We can get on the same page and travel in the same direction together.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting. Ugh. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. What a crazy concept.
Yeah. And this is common. I mean, we're not the only two dudes who have been in this situation. Another common situation is to hear, well, I'd love to do a vivid vision with my wife, but she just doesn't, she doesn't care about that sort of thing. She doesn't know. She doesn't think down the line, etc. And somebody else gave the advice, just ask them what an ideal day looks like. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, especially, most of the time, women just happen to stay in the day-to-day. But if you ask them what an ideal day looks like, you'll get some insight as to what's important to them, and then what the journey may need to look like to get to that ideal day. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, because I mean, if I bring the book Vivid Vision to my wife, it's a, hey, I want you to read this, and next week what we're going to do is we're going to sit down and we're going to chat. Like that's not going to happen. It is just not going to happen. She's got enough stuff going on doing her, you know, 13-hour a day work days plus an hour drive each direction. I don't think she's really stoked about doing Vivid Vision and sitting down and all that, but. Yeah. Having that, like, tell me what a perfect day looks like. And that was something we talked about as far as like, what do you want to do when you retire? Like, what is that? Yeah. What does retirement look like to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, she's finally starting to kind of figure that out. And what is that? I don't know. What does that look like? And you know, how do we do that? So, if you were to facilitate a conversation like that, like let's say somebody's listening and they would love to have that conversation, how would you facilitate that conversation between the husband and the wife? Besides just like, hey, you know, tell me what a good day to you looks like.
And this is about this is with a husband and wife just trying to figure out what the future might look like.
Yep.
Yeah. I would definitely in my tool bag would be that question. What does an ideal day look like? But I would want to know what each of their values are. And I think a good exercise would be, okay, we're going to give you a few quiet minutes. Each of you, you're going to write down what are the most important things to you globally, just not today, not in the future, but what things are most important to you? As in, if you could spend all of your time on these four or five things, what would they be? Have them spend some time listing as many things as they can, and then compare those two lists and see if we can't come up with some sort of shared list of values. And values, really, I'm talking about criteria of ways to say yes or no to things. And then from there, you know, let's say that their list looks like our kids, our extended family, adventure and travel, and genuine contribution to our community, or something like that. No. I think from that list, you can really start to shape, well, what then, how much of our time are we going to spend on this? And what does that look like? And how much of our money do we want to put towards this? And what does that look like? Or what if we want to spend 90% of our time traveling and being on adventures together? What needs to happen between now and then to make that a reality? I think a lot of times, as individuals and as couples, we get in a trap of creating goals without knowing our values or criteria. This is an Aaron Velke thing, who's also in GoBundance and a former coach of mine. And in GoBundance, you know, we make these one sheets and we're listing all these goals. There's nine categories or whatever it is, eight categories. Yep. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure to make sure you have something in every one of those buckets. And oftentimes you wind up with 20 goals or something like that. And you haven't filtered them through anything. Some of them just wind up being meaningless. And it's oftentimes because you don't know your criteria. If you can know your criteria, what is the most important things to you, and then craft goals through those so that you're spending more time and more energy and more resources in those specific things, then your goals have stickiness and grit. They're more likely to get accomplished. And by the way, your life is going to be more fulfilling because you're spending your resources towards those most important things.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, even at the beginning, you talked about having like your calendar and your bank account should be in line with what you say your values and goals are, right? So again, if you're in EOS, right, we come up with our core values and we hire and fire based off those core values, and we look at what the company's doing, and we make decisions on what we're going to do for the future. And when we're doing EOS, we look at what we're going to be doing for the future based off of our core values, based off of what these plans are. And if the decision doesn't match those, then we don't do it. Right. But yet for some reason in our life, we don't apply the same thing with our kids. You know, that's one of the reasons I started homeschooling, is I was like, I want to spend more time with my kids, and I don't want my kids spending, you know, 43 hours a week doing school. Like he's in fourth grade and he works more than a full-time job for school. Like this is, it boggles my mind. Right. So like okay, I got to make a change. We got to figure something out. So, you know, that was how I helped make that decision. But, you know, we just, like I said, we as a family just created these core values. I'm looking forward to asking my kids those same questions. Like, okay, that decision you want to make, that thing you want to buy, that adventure you want to go on, does it match what we all agreed upon are our core values? Yeah. And my assistant's like creating a big poster for me so I can print it off and get it up in the house, and we can all just kind of see it every day. Yeah. And that to me is really exciting. I'm looking forward to it, you know, and seeing how that goes.
And you guys crafted that list together?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, great. Yep.
Everybody was a part of it. We got to write down what we thought. You know, even my five-year-old was telling us what he wanted to write. Good. Well, he wrote it in crayon after we told him what letters to write. But he's, you know, writing it all out. And we just, it was a lot of fun to be able to kind of go through that with the kids. The nine-month-old, for some reason, she had very little input in what was going on.
Not much to say.
Diana did not. Like, she, you know. Yeah, I don't know why. She slept through most of it, but that's okay. I'll forgive her for it.
Nine-month-olds tend to do.
Man, oh, man. You know, and I look at you. You've been married for about the same amount of time me. My wife and I have been married for 14 years. It'll be 14 years in a couple months by the time this comes out. Three kiddos. You just started a little bit sooner on having the kiddos. And then, we just had our third last year. And it's like, man, oh, man, I'm going to be like 95 before my kids get out of the house. I don't know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we are often very renewed in our gratitude around how early we started. Very grateful. Yeah. And we didn't intend to be honest. It just, God had different plans for us.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're very grateful.
Yeah, we didn't intend, like, we sort of intended to wait for the 4 years for the first one. But we definitely did not intend to wait for 4 years for the second one, and definitely did not intend to wait another 4.5 for the third. And it was like, goodness, like, it was just, God had different timing than we did, you know? And it was like, all right, well, whenever he lets us know, you know, we actually thought we weren't going to have a third kid. We were trying for like 2.5 years with no luck. And it was like, all right, well, you know, if we're meant to have a third, we'll have a third. If not, then we won't. And my wife was like, look, if I'm not pregnant by my 40th birthday, we're calling it.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like 2 weeks before her birthday, we found out she was pregnant. We're like, all right, well, Merry Christmas to us. So it was good.
It's awesome. But,
yeah,
it was great. You guys.
Loving it. I absolutely love it. I just, the health side of the house is the biggest thing that I worry about now, because I was in the military for a long time. I'm rather, I've got a lot of different injuries and illnesses and all the crap going on, not illnesses, but injuries that have slowed me down. And I'm like, I really want to spend time with my grandkids, but it hurts to play with my kids sometimes. I got to figure out something, you know, to feel better about what I'm doing now, that it's going to help me be a better grandfather, you know, because that's, you know, again, looking at that future and where I want to be. I want to be the 70-year-old grandpa that's, you know, playing hoops in the backyard with my grandkids and, you know, throwing the football and, you know, getting tackled by him in the backyard and, you know, all of that. Like, I want to be able to do all of that. So,
It sounds like on your list of criteria or values is some amount of activity or sport or something like that. And then obviously time with family.
For sure.
So then, you know, that's a great meld of those two things over the long run. So I guess my question to you is, what goals do you have right now around that, around making sure that you can spend more time in those capacities?
So I've actually got some my goal this year is to have 25 family workouts together. So where we actually go and do workouts together and mark those off, whether it's riding a bike, whether it's, we went hiking the other day. So that was one of our workouts together. Yeah. And have them get into jiu-jitsu, because I want to be able to wrestle around on the floor with them and practice. I could probably get away with some level of jiu-jitsu. But between the neck surgery and the shoulder surgery, I'm a little hesitant to go back in and start doing anything that torques on those joints. Sure. But bringing them involved in the sports, like my son loves golf and I'm his caddy. So, I mean, I've got like the caddy vest with his name on the back and everything, and I'll follow him around. So it's a lot of fun. So that gets us out to exercise and play sports and go walk, you know, 9 or 18 holes with him. With the oldest, the middle guy, he's going to be firing that up a little bit more here soon as well. Cool. But for sure, our goals are definitely lining up with that, you know, going on adventures with the family. I'm a private pilot, so I fly small planes, and we've got that on our goal list too. We have to do six of those trips this year with me flying, go somewhere. Don't know where we're going to go yet or what we're going to do. We haven't done the first one yet as of February, but it's
good.
I'm excited about how my wife and I got together to build those out this year, because it was, it's so much, and now they're all on my one sheet too. You know, it's like, okay, these family values have now moved over to the one sheet a little bit more intently, because I've never included I've included my own personal thoughts on the family stuff, but never my wife's thoughts on my one sheet. So I'm thrilled about it.
Yeah. And there's other people involved when you make goals around family time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
And my kids get to call me out on it, you know, and say, hey, we haven't, you know, like I just recently implemented 30 minutes in the middle of the day that I just get to go play with the kids. Mm. So that was a request from my oldest while we were at Fambundance. And I was like, all right. So while we were there, we put it in the calendar 3 days a week. I've got 30 minutes in the middle of the day that we get to go and do some stuff.
Nice.
Today was supposed to be one of those days, but he's got an hour and a half long, like, Nerf gun battle with all of these other homeschool kids. So he's out now doing this Nerf gun battle with all these other homeschool kids. That's so my boy's fun. Like, I mean, he's got one that's like this, like fully automatic. He's got these massive magazines with, I don't know, I think they fit like 30 or 60 rounds of stuff, and it's all battery operated. Just starts peppering people. So I'm sure he is excited to go and shoot those guns.
Yeah, I'm sure he is too. That sounds like a lot of fun. Man.
I wish I was there, honestly, but at the same point, you know, it's a blessing for me to be able to have a little bit of peace and quiet in the house. Yeah. Like his school desk is right here in my office. So I just changed that today, because he needs to focus a little bit more, but, So what is next for you and your family? What are the next adventures you guys are going on? What's on the agenda for this year for you guys?
Yeah, the big thing this year that we're building around is we're going to Paris for the summer games for 3 weeks, give or take a week. So that's a big muscle movement. That's our first international travel together as a family. So everything else is kind of just revolving around that. So that'll be end of July.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What made you decide to do that? How did that come about?
It was essentially like sports is also a value of my wife. Travel and adventure, same thing. It was really just like me and her saying, hey, wouldn't this be cool? And then deciding, yeah, it would be cool. Let's just do it. Let's just figure out how to do it. And, you know, we enroll the kids and they're like, we're like, hey, what do you guys think about this? And, you know, they don't really understand what that actually means. They're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that'd be cool. Our oldest actually had been wanting to go to Paris for a long time. So she was like, yeah, heck yeah. And the other two were like, sure, I guess. So here we go. We're going to Paris.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, I would love to. So we've got the goal of hitting one more country this year. Both of my kids have been to, I think 7 countries.
Nice.
Diana has only been to 2 because she was just born last year. So, yeah, right. But she'll be racking them up here soon. So we've got at least one more country we want to hit this year, hopefully more. We're looking at or I was starting to look at like Hungary, going out somewhere out there, going out to somewhere in Europe. My middle was born in Japan, so we've done quite a few Asia countries.
Yeah,
nice. So I want to hit a couple more of the European countries that I haven't hit yet. You know, I don't know what that'll be yet.
Yeah,
it's awesome. I love it. How do you plan those trips out? What is your how do you and your wife kind of plan what that looks like?
Oh man. Well, this is an exceptional trip, so that's not like something we planned before. But what we're doing is we tried to sit the kids down and say, "Hey, what do you want this trip to look like? What's important to you? What do you want to do? How do you want it to feel?" And they're like, "I don't know." And we're like, "Okay, yeah." That wasn't a good approach. So then her and I started talking about what is important to us. So very similar to the values exercise. We literally, it wasn't that long ago, we sat down and we just made a list of essentially the values of this trip. What do we want it to look like and feel like? And what experiences do we want to have? We compared those notes and then we can prioritize. We can pick accommodations through that lens. We can pick flights through that lens. I mean, it's a different, very different flight if you're just trying to be efficient versus we don't want to be rushed. We want to be relaxed. Mm-hmm. We want a little bit more space. We don't want to leave in the middle of the night. We don't want to sit in economy.
Yeah.
That all looks different after that conversation. And then probably the biggest thing we did was I just bought Amy a ticket and 5 days in Paris in early February. And so basically she went on a reconnaissance mission. Nice. So she could figure out what it looked like when you got to the airport, what customs looked like, what it looks like to get a train, or to buy tickets for a train. You know, what does it look like to eat in a restaurant or just navigate the streets in Paris? How many people are speaking French? How many people speak English? What can we expect, etc.? So she brought all that intel back, and now we're, you know, just finished up the last minute pieces on the. I say minute pieces, but we literally haven't bought our plane tickets yet. We're still waiting for prices and we're not sure if we're going to fly into Paris or one of the other cities, but that's what it looks like for us.
That's a lot of fun. I've gone back and forth between let's just figure it out when we get there versus let's plan this out and make sure it goes. And I like both of them. And I feel like every time I really plan out all the details, I feel more stressed about it.
Okay.
Because I'm like, oh man, I got to hit all these things because we said we're going to do this thing. And then, and then I don't. And then, you know, I get stuck in that, you know,
totally.
Gap versus the gain. And it's like, but then when I just kind of wing it, I'm like, I don't really know if I got to do enough, you know. So it's I don't really know the right solution on that, and I have yet to figure it out either. But
Yeah, I don't either. If it was just Amy and I, and it might be the same with you and your wife, we would just go. We would figure out very little, and yeah. we would just be. We would just figure it out as we got over there. But with, you know, three mm-hmm. kids, maybe you need to figure out a few more details.
A couple more details are probably necessary. Like where are they going to put their head down might be an important thing to figure out, right? Yes, for me and my wife, we'll put our head down anywhere. We'll figure it out. But
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, when you have the kids, it's a different story. But, yeah,
totally.
Man, oh, but man.
We're excited.
No, I bet. Yeah, I'd be thrilled. I'd be wonderfully excited. How about for this year for business? What are your highlights coming up? What are you looking forward to for this year for the business?
Yeah, just continuing to grow my client base. So I have goals around the number of focus days that I want to do, and that is the first day with a client. So it looks and feels a lot like how many clients I want to have, and I'm at 10. I'm trying to get to 14 by the end of the year, so nothing crazy. And that is what I'm excited for because, man, I love being in session, and man, I love the impact that especially focus day has on a business and the people inside of it. It's very satisfying work, and my goals are all around besides the stuff I have with my family, my parents, etc. My goals are all around growing that practice.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you're at the beginning stages of growing it, so I would imagine your goals are definitely to, you know, push this thing and grow it as much as possible. But that's awesome. Hopefully, well, I know that you're going to accomplish that because you have written down it's going to happen. So, you know, four more companies this year, I think is unbelievably accessible for you. Like, yeah. I think you'll be able to knock that out. So yeah. I may have to ask you what your reach goal is because that sounds like a very, that doesn't sound like a very reach goal to me.
Yeah. Well, so there's some history there. One is in EOS, they tell you that while these are goals, they're actually predictions. And so one of the mm-hmm. five leadership abilities to help you break through those ceilings in your business or in your life is the ability to predict better. And I have a history of setting lofty goals that I don't hit. And then I don't feel particularly good about them. I wanted to do this different. I wanted to make a reasonable prediction of what life and business would look like at the end of said period. And I wanted to set very attainable goals so that I felt like I was getting traction. Like I actually was moving forward and I wasn't left at the end of the year kicking myself when really the root issue of feeling that way at the end of the year was I just set a ridiculously stupid goal that was probably never going to happen. So why don't I just do this a little smarter?
Mm-hmm. Boy, I wonder if you have the tendency to set a ridiculously stupid goal as a dad too and feel like you're not reaching those. Go back to the beginning of what we talked about, how you felt like you weren't doing very well. And then you're telling me about all these trips you're going to be taking and the goals that you guys have set and the motions you guys are doing. And you're like, well, you know, I just.
So true, man.
Man.
Yeah, so true.
Uh-huh.
But, I hear you.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, I'm only yelling into a microphone for you. So.
Yes. Yeah, I got you. Read you loud and clear.
Yeah, very good. Well, Harvey, it was absolutely awesome to have you on. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch that we haven't touched on? Any questions you had from your side? Anything that we haven't hit on yet?
No, I don't think so, man. I appreciate you having me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was absolutely enjoyable. I really appreciate it. I hopefully a person or two that is listening to this can be one of those four that that really want to jump into EOS. I, as everybody could probably tell on this call, am a big fan of EOS. So hopefully somebody listening can say, hey, you know what? I really line up with what Harvey's talking about and reaches out to you. So if somebody did want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
You can email me, harvey.yergin, Y-E-R-G-I-N, at EOSworldwide.com.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Harvey, we'll have that in the show notes, and as well as any of your social media accounts that you gave us. I don't remember what all you have, but I'm sure you got a bunch if I were to guess. But thank you again very much for jumping on. Please, everybody, like, subscribe, reach out to Harvey if he could be of any service for you, which I'm positive he can if you are not already with an implementer at EOS. But thank you again, Harvey, and we will see you later.
Awesome. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much for listening to the Biz Dad Podcast. We hope you found some value in your time here with us, and we look forward to bringing you the next episode. If you've enjoyed today's show, please subscribe and share so you and your friends won't miss our upcoming episodes. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Rumble, where we continue these discussions and share more valuable content. Be the dad you know you need to be and run your business in a way you're proud to share with your kids. Keep crushing it.